Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Lee Sale's coming up. She wants to talk about Valerie Taylor, one of the great conservationists and a diver, and can't wait to talk about that. World news coming up. We're going to ask you the best advice you ever got. There's a 108-year-old woman who's doling out the advice. Listen up. You could listen to 108. We'll ask you the most safe and dangerous suburbs you find in New South Wales, but let's start with a bit of this.
Away to Tuolungi, left foot step, a risky pass, brilliantly held by Schuster. Schuster chip kick, Schuster kick, Turbo score! Comes to the left here to Brown. Brown to Moses, chance, Zeno! No. Zeno!
No, I told you that.
34-30!
Kelly's over the halfway line. He's got his winger with him, but he goes back inside to Brimson. Brimson's over the 10. He looks for support. Back to Kelly. Oh, beautiful Gold Coast Titans try.
Everything gets the upload back inside the wall. Watch this, the man is up. Big one, big two, scores. Oh, that was classy.
The Broncos outstanding. 40 points to 18.
Dewey. It's intercepted. It is a Canterbury try coming up. Although, what a chase by Nathan.
He deserves that. Canberra 24, Cronulla 20.
Bang! Another round, and the NRL just keeps delivering. 133353. If you want to give us a call and let us know what you reckon the best bit, the worst bit, the most controversial bit of the weekend was. But MG, this week you're going to give us your contenders, pretenders, and the jury still out on some clubs. Where do you want to start? You tell me.
I want to start with yesterday's game before we get to the contenders. Just want to give a shout out to Bulldogs and Tigers fans who braved the elements.
Wow.
40-degree heat.
It was a stinker. It was unbelievable.
It was suburban ground, Mickey, and I know in AFL it's a lot different to what you have down there in Melbourne when you're watching AFL, because you're basically born with a membership. Their crowds are rampant. Well, our suburban grounds are our heartbeat. Of our competition. And yesterday we saw it in full view. Well done, Dogs fans. Well done, Tigers fans. You packed out a fantastic stadium. Unfortunately, the Tigers didn't get the win. They came back with they reared back into
the contention. Had a crack, didn't they?
But in the end, they didn't. So, but Doggies, look, let's go to the contenders, I think, after round three. I think Brisbane are a contender. Manly are definitely contenders. Penrith are always there, same as the Roosters and South Sydney. Sharks, with Nico Hines back in, I think are going to be contenders.
Okay. Right, I'll take your word for it. Now, pretenders, for those who have disappointed so far.
Well, obviously the Tigers. Tigers, but there is a ray of hope with Bateman coming back into their team. The Knights, they look rudderless. The Dragons, for mine, are too inconsistent. The Titans, I'm not sold on them yet. And the Raiders, maybe the jury's still out on them, but I still don't think they're contenders, the Raiders.
All right, and the jury's still out?
Even though the Dolphins are 3-0, depth is going to be a drama. Kafusi's out this week against the Broncos. Melbourne Storm. Wow.
What's wrong with the Storm?
Oh, well, they're just not playing Storm-like footy, are they? Yeah. You know, you've been watching them for a while down in Melbourne, and Craig Bellamy.
Big trees in the forest the first time ever, I reckon.
Now that Nelson Solomona's out for 8 weeks, jury's out on them. Cowboys, again, they're looking wobbly. The Warriors look much improved. They could be a real dark horse of this competition. Eels, they're 0-3. They made the grand final last year.
You cannot win from 0-4.
You can't.
You can't. So they've got to be who they got this
Penrith
week.
Penrith on Thursday night. and the jury's still out on the Bulldogs, because even though they had a great win yesterday, the Tigers did come back with a wet sail. So there's some fantastic games over the weekend in round three. Was just another factor.
Plenty to come on Mick and MG in the morning, including going around the globe. News stories from around the world that are tickling our fancy, like Vladimir Putin desperately trying to recruit people to fight the Ukraine war via Pornhub. Plus Sydney's safest and most unsafe neighbourhoods. We take your calls on why you think your neighbourhood fits into one of those categories, and a 108-year-old gives advice on how to live longer.
We are talking NRL, of course, about to take your calls, 133353. Before we do, I want to ask you about the Dolphins.
Yeah.
3-0. Did you see that coming?
No way. No, no, no way. I don't think anyone in rugby league did, Mickey.
And a big game coming up this right week.
On. They play their neighbours and their big brothers now, the Brisbane Broncos, who are also 3-0. So
oh, that'll be
a massive. Suncorp was almost sold out as we speak.
All right. Now, let's go to Russell on the lines. Russell, hey, what did you want to say, mate?
Morning, all. Look, I'm a Rooster supporter and a black and yellow supporter too.
Yep.
But that game yesterday was an atrocious heat. Man, poor Canterbury, they were exhausted. And the only time or those tries that the West Tigers did get were on the back of two big forwards who were so heat exhausted, you could see it, they could hardly lift their legs. And they just caught them. And that was the only time Balmain actually got a chance to score points. So,
yeah.
Credit to the Doggies for holding them out, but I tell you what, if it wasn't for that heat, I think the Doggies would have run a riot on that scoreline.
Fair call.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the forwards doing the heavy lifting. On that note, who is your top five forwards?
Okay.
You're going to do this, I think, every week now.
Yeah, each week. So, because I'm an ex-forward, and you know, a lot of people ask who are my best players. I'm going to concentrate on the Pigs, the boys in the engine room, in no particular order. Payne Haas, he's a juggernaut for the Broncos. Corey Horsburgh, the Fanta man, the redhead two try hero yesterday, yep, was awesome. Tino Fasuamala'awi, Jared Waerea-Hargreaves, who's just that alpha male that everyone needs, and Olakau'atu from Manly, who I think will play State of Origin this year. He has lost 10 kilos. He looks so good. Manly are a real danger. They're going to go good this year.
Did you have them at the start? I don't think you had them in your eighth.
I had them. I had them coming eighth.
You
really
had them coming eighth.
So we might revisit that in a couple of weeks.
Well, we might fish it out and have a good look at that. Hang in there, everyone. Change your pace after this. Lee Sales is on to talk us through tonight. 7:30. Pardon me. Australian Story, which is a beauty, with Australian legend Valerie Taylor.
Oh yeah.
I got news for you.
News. Global news.
Global news coverage.
The news of the world.
And helping us out, as always, with breaking news. Is it breaking news? It is breaking news with Natasha Belling.
Yes. Oh, good morning. Yes, look, a reportedly desperate Vladimir Putin has taken to advertising on Pornhub in a bid to persuade Russian men to join his war against Ukraine. It's going very well for Vlad.
What's his cat's cry?
Details shortly after the weather. An advert from the country's mercenary group, a pro-Kremlin private army founded by a close ally of Putin, who is dubbed his chef, has gone viral since first being spotted on the popular porn website this week. Mm. Now, apparently the commercial features a lovely lady twirling a lollipop in her mouth, urging men to stop watching videos online content, start fighting and was showing to Russian users before they viewed explicit content. So basically, the war in Ukraine is going so badly, he needs to go to Pornhub. A
couple of things.
Yes.
Yeah. Firstly, they have ads on Pornhub, do they?
I didn't know. What's Pornhub?
Do you pay for the subscription?
What's Pornhub? I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, these guys will be good because they're used to seeing stuff explode in people's faces. Don't you think that would be?
I used to be a journalist.
No, well, that was a long time ago. Yeah. You know, if looking at porn was all you needed to become a good soldier, I would have won a Victoria Cross by now. There'd be a march for me one day a year. You can imagine all the old veterans in 50 years' time. Yeah, I fought in the 101st Stiffy Division. A minute silence would be terrible. We lost a lot of horny men that day. Well, there's another story here for you, Tash.
No, I'm refusing to read it.
I'm sorry, it's in your contract. You've got to read it.
Oh, you've done the Pornhub story, but yeah.
Not going to do the other
one. You're not going to do it?
The other one was about Ukraine.
Well, come on.
So it was eventually a serious world event, was it?
Yes.
All right, I'll do one. Now, this went to a meteorologist in Philadelphia. We're going to America now. Delivered more than the weather prediction on Friday morning when she cracked a raunchy on-air joke that's in her colleagues a little skew with. So it was St. Patrick's Day. Yep. They were talking about beers and having a beer in each hand. You know, he's got it double parked or
that's right,
whatever. And here's how it went down live on air in the weather.
10 miles, some sunshine, 60.
Thursday, partly sunny skies and 57. And to another woman who likes to be double-fisted in a different way, I think, Jess.
She means beer. Guys.
What's that? What is that?
Just stick to the weather, doll. Her name's Karen. The meteorologist.
That's funny. That is funny.
Oh, and 40 degree heat. We could use a weather report like that. You know what we're saying.
Scorcher on the weekend.
It's absolutely scorcher. All right, I think we're done here. We've got some good and some bad news, depending on which town you live in. They've released a list of the best, the safest,
yep,
and the most dangerous suburbs of Sydney. We'll get to that in just a minute. Before, I know you're going to run that, MG. I just want to congratulate Albury being named the best in the country. Regional New South Wales town, Albury named best in the country.
Wow.
Across everything. So that's amazing. Albury beat Bundaberg.
Yep.
New Norfolk, Port Lincoln, Ballarat, Merimbula, Toowoomba, Dunsberg, Orange and Echuca. All, incidentally, the meth capitals of Australia. Like, is that what that is?
Must be.
So Albury... Call me old-fashioned, but I'm a Wodonga man myself. Well, I've always
What's the difference? I thought it was Albury Wodonga.
Well, it used to be pokies. So you can remember when Sydney had pokies and Melbourne didn't.
Yep.
Everyone used to have to drive across the border and go to Albury to play the pokies, but no longer. So, I mean, Albury. Wow. Well, it's a good city, but even the mayor of Albury's surprised at this one.
he's going, this sounds
a bit shonky. The best bit of Albury is the road out, to be honest. But no, it's a good place.
Good morning, Albury.
All right. Now, what have you got for us?
Okay. So I've got the most dangerous suburbs in Sydney.
There's a survey that's been released. Yep. I've done it. And so let's start with that. Who's topping the charts as the most dangerous suburbs in Sydney?
The CBD.
The CBD?
Oh, yeah, number one.
Is that surprising?
It is. Yeah, it is. Because obviously, it's slowed down a lot in here. As you drive in over morning, you see a lot less people than we used to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It must be still some assaults at night. And I think it's recorded in 2022, they recorded 1,560 assaults. That's up 45% from the previous year. Well, hello. Previous year, was locked. No one was out. We're locked in.
That's just me coming to work in the morning for the World Centre. So, what about King's Cross? Is that still – what happened to King's Cross?
I'll give you the top 10.
Yep, go for it.
Sydney CBD, Redfern, number two. Surrey Hills, number three. Old stomping ground.
These are ritzy suburbs.
Mount Druitt, number four. That's my neck of the woods.
Well played, Mount
Druitt. Good word on Mount Druitt. Claymore, Penrith. Penrith in the top 10.
Yeah. Does that ring true to you?
No. I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah, but I'm not asking for you. Do you believe the data when it says?
I have no risk or worry at all when I'm in Penrith. No, I suppose because I know
the numbers go up when you're in town. I notice,
especially on a Saturday night after 12 beers. The safest suburbs. Oh, listen, these lordy.
Hey, what about King's Cross? Tell me what happened to King's Cross. I used to travel from Victoria to come up and go to King's Cross, and it's nothing.
No.
What happened?
Well, it's kind of. And he, I don't,
used
I don't,
to be world famous.
Yeah, I don't mean to go down the serious trail.
Yeah, no, please.
But as soon as we had the cow punch kill that young kid,
that was the end of it.
That was the end of it, because I think we were, as a city, up in rage over what we saw, and it was the
curfew as well, right? I think the curfew pushed everyone out to your other suburbs, which. Yeah, so like, it just pushed all the idiots out to Newtown and Balmain.
Newtown and Balmain, all those areas.
Instead of punching each other up and across. All right.
These might be suburbs when you're looking for a house to buy, Mick. These are the safest suburbs.
Okay.
Barara
Double
Waters.
Bay? Is that in there?
Is not in here. No.
Not that I've been there once.
Beecroft. Don't know anyone from
Where the hell's Beecroft?
I don't know.
North Shore.
North Shore. I should Natasha Billing country.
I go to the shops there. Cherrybrook. West Pennant Hills, Fairlight, Warunga, St Ives. That's where, isn't that where Tash lives, St Ives?
So it's close to where she lives, yeah.
And Avalon Beach up on the, is it Northern Beaches?
Yeah, that's where I used to live.
That's where they were going to film Baywatch.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
And so you're going from the safest to one of the most unsafe.
Yeah, I went from
unsafe.
Avalon Beach growing up to now Redfern, where I've got the balcony spewer in my building, the random balcony spewer.
Yeah, but you do have a spa on the roof.
On the roof. So I
can't spew in that.
No, you can't spew up.
You need a fork. You need a Toyota forklift to get that out of there.
Exactly.
1-3-3-5-3. Ring us up. Tell us about your suburb. Where are you? Are you safe? What's happened? Is there crime? What have you seen? Tell us why your suburb is the safest or the most dangerous. Do it now.
I love this.
Calls get something. What do they get?
Yeah. Oh, double pass to the world is a vampire festival with the smashing pumpkins.
And
security cameras.
Yeah. 1-3-3-5-3.
We've got Miss Mudgy, 1956. Miss Mudgy, where the hell is Mudgy on the list? You've talked Mudgy up to me. She says, you've got to come to Mudgy. It's a great city. Horbury, number one. This is a regional town.
Yes.
Horbury, Bundaberg, New Norfolk, Port Lincoln, Ballarat, Maroombilla, Toowoomba, Dunsworth, Orange, Echuca. Where's Mudgy?
Because sometimes you can get too many awards, right?
Oh, come on.
Mudgy, hang on. Wow. 2 years running, Mudgy, the best place in the country, received the Australia's top tourism awards for the best tourist town in Australia, both in 2021 and 2022.
Yeah, not in the top 10.
Because that list doesn't matter.
So what's happened?
It's kind of after you've been rubbishing it on air of late, you've actually painted into a wall.
That is not true. And our local mayor owns the local pubs, so that just says everything about the prices
being way too exorbitant.
What was the place you got kicked out of?
Shearers.
In a limbo dancing competition.
In a line dancing.
Well done, Mudgy. All right, we're doing the safest and worst. You tell us where you live.
Mickey's not from the city, so he wants to know. He wants to be educated on all our suburbs. He wants to know where's the safe ones, where's the unsafe ones. I reckon you're the most dangerous man. You'd like the most dangerous suburb.
I'll change your rating.
Yeah.
Overnight. Darren's on the line. Darren, where do you live, buddy?
Mate, I live in Camden.
Yeah, great spot.
You feel safe?
100%. I drive into the main street of Camden, and it's like I'm living in rural New South Wales in the 70s.
Yeah, it's a
beautiful
spot.
And there was a lot less crime in the 70s.
And what is it? Is it busy or is it deserted?
It's going to be once the airport opens up.
If I came to Camden, where would you take me? What would we do?
Mate, probably, to be honest, hang at home with the neighbours and have a beer in the driveway with all the neighbours.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do that, whether I'm invited or not. Look, I'm just going to jump the fence and get in your backyard.
Locked in.
Done. Thanks, Darren. John's on the line. John, where are you from, buddy?
Hey, mate, how are you?
Good. Hello, John.
Where are you from?
Campbelltown, mate. Good old Campbelltown.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel safe?
No, not really. I live in Housing Commission.
You live in Housing Commission? How's that go for you? Is it an old one or a new one? What's the deal?
Oh, it's all right, the house, but I tell you what, you don't want to leave anything unlocked or anything around here, mate. They'll steal the bloody gold teeth out of you. Bloody...
All right, that's John, the mayor of Campbelltown, calling in.
Campbelltown's beautiful spot.
This is what we want. I want some honesty.
Yep.
Jeff, where do you live, buddy?
Hi, I live at Guildford.
Yeah, now what do we know about Guildford, guys?
It's a good spot. I was born in Auburn Hospital, and Guildford's not far from Auburn, and I've got a lot of relatives who lived in Guildford.
Jesus, you would have been a massive baby.
How heavy were you?
Were you huge?
Yeah, I was 11 and a half pounds.
Jeez, that's massive.
And when the doctor smacked you, did you smack him back? I'll bet you did.
Right in his chin.
He dropped him and then lit a cigarette. I'll bet you that's what you did.
Roll one then.
Hey, Guildford, so if I came to Guildford, what would we do, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay, the reason why Guildford is the most safest place in Australia is because the Hamseys and the Almadines are here and they're shooting all each other. They leave us alone.
Well, they sound like a great bunch.
Allegedly.
Are they?
Jeffrey.
Well, they sound like fun, is that?
Yes.
Shall we go and introduce ourselves? I don't know. Well, good luck.
That's your idea of fun.
All right, did he answer the question?
That escalated quickly.
Everyone here was just sitting under their desk.
Everyone's gone quiet. Tony, stop holding on that door, mate. What are you doing out there?
Do I need to be in a witness protection scheme now or something? What just happened?
Every time you leave this building now, your face is going to be pixelated.
Don't you start. Good luck to everyone. Gene, where do you come from, buddy?
Mate, I'm living in Belmore at the moment, and my mum rings me up every 3 days and goes, "It's on the news, something's going on there again."
Are you safe?
Do you feel safe?
I, I feel safe personally, not yesterday after Canterbury won, but anyways, yeah.
Oh, that's a great win. And their town seems to be, Belmore seems to just have woken up with this new rugby league team. It's fantastic.
All right, I think we've got time.
Good for everything, good for the community, not for me, the South supporter, but anyways, I'm in hiding at the moment. But, yeah, no, but besides me mum freaking out, I'm pretty cool.
So. Good on you, Gino.
Good on you, G. Well, one more. Time for one more. Rebecca, where do you live?
I live in Penrith.
Yay!
And know that we're not just back-to-back premierships, but now we're on one of the greatest lists as well. So,
all right. Now, do you feel safe living in Penrith?
I feel really safe. We've been living in the same house for 17 years. We are, though, very close to the Pioneer Tavern, so I feel like maybe that keeps us very safe. So lots of people are just passing us by. But when we moved in, though, we did have... My husband went up on top of the roof and we did have a lot of razor wire in the guttering up there. Now, I don't know why it was there.
I think the last person who lived in your house was a fan of Hogan's Heroes.
That's what I'm saying.
I think might have been up to no good. You might want to dig up your floorboards here. Could be something very interesting under there.
Go on your back. Okay, for those that are worried about foregoing their many vices in hope of living longer, listen up. Some great news.
What is it?
There's some advice from a long life lady who lives in Orpington in America. She's 108 years of age.
What? Oof.
And she says this is the secret to
a super cougar.
Yes, a super duper cougar. The secret to a long and happy life is a tipple at lunch. Oh, tick. And partying. A great grandmother. She who's turning 108. She says that you've got to work hard, but you've got to party harder. A bit of hard work won't hurt you.
I'm going to live till I'm 200.
How good's that?
Quite a great bit of advice from an elderly lady.
Yep.
How many hips do you reckon she's done in her time?
Oh.
100. Yeah, she'll multiple. Be snapping those things like wishbones. Don't you reckon? Work hard, but party harder.
Party
great
harder.
Advice. Okay, 133353. This is good for us. Best bit of advice you ever got. Is there anything that stands out for you?
Yeah, look, okay. Well, the first bit of advice, which was kind of tongue-in-cheek from my footy coach, Ron Willey, when I first went into first grade as a 19-year-old, he said, Mountain, you realise that these blokes you're playing against can't run without heads. So,
jeez.
So, and then he looked around the room and said,
that's that real fireside advice you want. Gather round, kids. I've got something
free
to
the
tell
people.
You. Knock their blocks
from
off.
The yeah. My wife.
The Mountain. Did he used to call you Mountain?
He used to call me Mountain. Yes. He's built like a mountain, so I would play like one. My wife, Meegs, has given me one about 15 years ago. She
said, you'd need good advice.
Oh, yeah. She said, you know what, babe? She said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I thought, oh, that's pretty profound.
So basically, step up.
Step up.
You're letting yourself down.
You've been given a good life, so start giving back.
And you've done that, haven't you?
Yes.
Very good. Mine was, why buy the cow when you can have the steak for free? Given Chiller. Well, something similar to what our producer, Danny is in here right now, and your dad said something quite profound to you.
Many times I heard this saying. He said, you can be a doctor, an Indian chief, or a prostitute, but have an education so you can choose which one.
Make an educated
And which
choice.
One did you choose?
Well, I still don't have
Jury's
an education.
Out. Yeah. Kat, what about you?
My mum was giving me the sex talk and said, you know what? Try before you buy.
Which is
okay, kids, don't be writing any of these down just yet. What about this one? It's told to me by old mate Russell Gilbert. We're here for a good time, not a long time.
Oh, that's
bang.
I love that one.
Oh, my other favourite. Let's ride to the gates of oblivion on a horse called Destiny.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's the way.
That's your next tattoo.
133353, best bit of advice you ever got. What was the advice? Work hard, but party harder.
Marianne Clifton, who also known as Rosina, she said, you know, work hard, but party harder. A bit of hard work won't hurt you.
She'll need to live another 100 years if she wants to see an Eels premiership. Hello! Shots fired! Shots fired!
Don't give them any ammunition. They're playing Penrith Thursday night. Come on, man.
Cannot. This is a must win. They have to go. They have to throw hand grenades.
Yep.
They have to.
I think they will. They'll throw hand grenades, literally.
Hey, best bit of advice you ever got. Nathan's on the line. What was it, mate?
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good, Nate.
Best bit of advice I ever got was don't get your possibilities mixed up with your capabilities.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Know, fantastic. And know where you are at all times. I like it, Nathan. Cheers. Michael's on the line. Michael, best bit of advice?
G'day, guys. The best bit of advice I ever heard was don't. There's no point being the richest man in the graveyard.
Do you think so? I think that's a good bit of advice. A lot of people spend all this time accumulating and worrying and doing it, and then they get it and go,
you can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you. Yep. No, it's a very good point, Michael. We like that one a lot. Robbie's on the line. Robbie, a best bit of advice?
Oh, from the mother, never stick your mickey where you wouldn't put your finger.
All right, I'm writing that down. Yeah, I'm offended by the use of the word Mickey.
Yeah.
So suitable.
Robbie.
Robbie, that's sound advice from your mum. That's good parenting, by the way. Greg's on the line. Greg, best bit of advice?
Yeah, my old man taught me years ago, if you keep hitting your head against the wall, eventually it's going to hurt.
Yes. So
and
simple.
Was he giving that to you for any particular reason? Were you involved in some pretty inane behaviour at the time?
Oh, it's probably too much drinking, too much gambling, too much other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say there's an 8-year-old woman out there. He says that's to go harder on that stuff, Greg. Dean's on the line. Bit of advice, Dean.
G'day, guys.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah, how are you, guys?
Awesome.
Oh, I did enjoy the Parramatta gag, Mick, either. That was yeah. kind of
Fots, shots fired from Mickey.
My dad used to tell me as a kid, if I was hanging around any dodgy or conspicuous people, if you lay down with dogs, son, you'll get fleas.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah, I was told the same.
That's sound Yoda-style advice to take through life with you.
Yes.
Well said, Dean. Michael, what do you got for us, buddy?
Morning, guys. A best bit of advice was a naive person has shit in three places, on their shoe, on their finger, on their nose.
Okay. Oh, was that,
I thought it was going to be the fourth place.
I'm guessing that wasn't Confucius, right?
I haven't seen that in a fortune cookie before.
Michael from Bunduna, that is awesome, my man.
I've got a clubhouse leader.
Yeah.
Gabby's on the line. Gabby, can you top that for advice?
This advice was actually given to me by an old boss. Mm. He said, whatever you do in life, don't do the overtime. No one's ever going to remember it when it comes to promotion time and you're going to miss out on your whole life.
There you go. There you go. What great advice. Yeah. Sage advice.
You know what? I've got 7 minutes till the show ends and I'll be straight out the door. Hey, so bring my car around now. Keep the engine running. Gabby said...
Get out.
We've got one more.
All right. Paul.
Yeah, good day, guys. How you going?
Hey, Paulie.
Matey, my bit of advice is from the old man, the more you get to know some people, the more you love your dog.
Unconditional.
All right. That's a good way to finish. We're going into maths. Owen on the team here has joined us. Hi, Owen.
Hey, guys. How you going?
I know you're addicted to it, as is Kat. You know, it started. I said, mate, would you watch an episode, please?
Yep.
Someone has to do it. And
yep.
she fought me all the way.
I did.
Now you don't miss a minute.
No, I don't.
All right, what's going on?
Okay. So last night was the last commitment ceremony because they're now the ones that have said yes, we're together.
They're happy. Yeah.
This week. They're going to go visit their hometowns.
Hello.
So they're from all over the shop. So that's when it gets real serious, when you see how someone lives in their own environment.
And you have to get grilled by that person's parents and sisters and brothers and
That used to be my fatal downfall in relationships.
So Mick, is that where most of them ended?
Have a word? Marching orders. Can I have a word with you, son?
Yes, sir.
Get the F out of here. I never want to see you. You darken this doorstep again, I will shoot you in the face. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I've read between
the
lines.
Well, I tell you who needs that is probably Harrison because, I think we were talking about it off air, we gossip. Harrison and Bronte are a couple and Harrison is definitely the villain and he is the ultimate gaslighter.
Yes.
It infuriates me.
Absolutely. And he always seems to make himself the victim. So we have these dinner parties each week and everyone is ready and everyone's talking, we're going to come for Harrison, we're going to get him. They'll confront him with stuff, and he'll turn it around, and then everyone sort of feels sorry for him, and it's like he's getting away with it.
Yeah, it's
like MG. Sounds like MG. Sounds like
you're on my list. You're getting close.
Harrison would be on your list if you watched it more.
If you put me on the list, Mate, just take me to your pub. Where's your stupid pub?
Well, come on,
sorry, guys. It's just that he's promised everything.
Okay, well, this is as toxic as Harrison and Bronte right now.
Do you think
now.
There's something going on between us two?
Yeah, I do. I do
sexual
question
tension
it.
There,
yeah.
I think.
I say leave. What do you say? Flip yours.
Okay.
No, you're a stay.
I'm staying.
Yeah. This is exactly what's happening with Harrison and Bronte. I swear, every time we're thinking, Harrison, one of them is going to say leave, and then we're all going to go, woo! And,
have you got a clip or something you can
yes.
play me?
Yes. So
something?
This is the example of gaslighting on the couch last night when Harrison again blames everyone for everything except himself.
The other boundary is venting to friends and family is very healthy. But it's what you say when you vent that can paint a picture of your partner. And for me, I've always tried very hard to stick to the problems I have with my partner's behaviour,
wow.
not their character.
Well, that is absolute rubbish because yeah, then they've both said stay, which infuriated everyone. And this is a point where
why do people care so much about that couple? Why don't they just go about and do their own thing?
Because it's so toxic, you can't help it. And then they called him out last night, which
down,
is wonderful.
Down.
No, let me tell you, ask you your question.
Can I just say one thing, sorry?
Please.
So because Bronte broke your trust when she said she wanted to leave, two dinner parties in a row you said openly to us when Bronte was not there that you are 100% done. You are leaving. There is absolutely no way you are staying.
Unequivocally.
Very contradicting.
Unequivocally yep. writing leave was the phrase used.
I did say that, yes, 100%.
Oh, and it didn't stop there. They called him out about going to Perth with Bronte as well.
Oh, wow. I just want more context as to who Bronte is as a person. I feel like I've seen a certain side to Bronte in the experiment. And
Harry, did you not say at the boys' night that you didn't want to go to Perth at all?
Yes, I did.
You didn't want Bronte to be your tour guide.
Yep.
And also that you thought Bronte was only taking you to Perth, her words, quote unquote, she just wanted to hop in a bikini and show off.
Yep. Yes. Yep. I've said those things.
I've said it all.
Can I say this?
Yep.
You are secretly in love with Harrison.
I'm not.
Seriously, you're spending a lot of time on this.
I'm with you.
A friend of mine does work with him, but I have not put in a good word.
You love him.
I don't love him.
You
this
would.
Is, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't even. I wouldn't
Owen,
be
do you love him?
Oh, yeah, I'd go there.
Oh, Owen!
And we're being joined right now by friend of the show and host of Australian Story, newly installed, and she's off to a flyer maker. Welcome, it's Lee Sales. Yeah. How are you, Lee?
Morning, lads. I'm very well, thank you.
That's great. It's great to have you on board. Tell us who is the Australian Story tonight. What can we look forward to?
Okay, so it's a woman called Valerie Taylor. It's part two from last week.
Yep.
And she is this woman, she's now 87, but people might remember her from the TV in the 60s and 70s. She and her husband Ron were these famous underwater filmmakers. And they worked on the film Jaws. Steven Spielberg hired them to go and work on the film Jaws. And so they were heavily involved in all of that and shooting the like real life shark footage underwater. But I tell you what it did. It sent me on a deep dive about Jaws, because it's years since I've seen Jaws. So I went and I was having a listen to the theme music. Has anyone ever done so much with two notes?
Well, I expect you to be doing this now because we know you're learning the cello. Play that. It's actually, this is Lee Sales' version. If you're living in the apartment next door, watch out.
I'm going to rip out the cello and do that in a second.
It's incredible.
They haven't got their school lunches ready.
But Lee, my understanding is it was required because eventually they worked out that the mechanical shark was so shit they couldn't show the mechanical shark, so they had to find a way to build up tension.
Yeah.
And the way they did it was having the point of view shark camera accompanied by that particular soundtrack. And when they tested it on audiences, they actually, it's one of those rare ones where they showed the audience testing and they showed people reacting and reeling. So that theme song and the fact that they were let down by a mechanical shark, the rest is history.
That is absolutely incredible. And it shows how much sometimes with film, it's scarier when you can't see stuff because your imagination runs away. The thing too that's so genius about that music, because it starts off with just the two notes, part of the reason it's so ominous is because, you know, well, this can't be it. There's got to be more coming. And so you're like, dude, okay, what's coming? I know what's coming. A bloody big scary shark.
And all they do is increase the pace. Well, there's another film I saw over the weekend called All Quiet on the Western Front. And they use a three-note chord from Pink Floyd. Ooh. It's so surreal. And it is the most intimidating. They use it 40 times in the film. And it's one of the most intimidating things I've ever seen. And every time you hear it, you just realise how
Who's in that? Wrong. All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, please don't ask me.
Is that an old Western? Is it an old Western?
No, it's a war film.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait for your movie show to come out, MG. It's got to be a classic.
Me and Margaret.
I thought exactly the same thing, MG. In fact, when Mick mentioned it, the music I heard in my head was...
Again, three notes.
Why did you throw the ice cream off the floor?
Do you remember seeing Jaws? So I think we're of the same vintage, yep. Lee. I might have you by a few years. But it was the first seriously scary film. My father, in a bit of very bad parenting, took me to see it when I was about 12, I reckon, or 11. And I spent the next 3 years avoiding large bodies of water. The bath.
The bathtub.
I spent the years after Jaws being scared to go to the toilet in case there was one swimming around in there.
Well, I used to sleep with my legs curled up. I know, totally irrational, but thinking that they may be...
That was for Freddy Krueger. In case Freddy Krueger came out from under your bed.
That was Nightmare on Elm Street, Mark. That was the first horror film I ever saw. And I honestly reckon I was scarred by Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah.
Oh, well, I tell you what, this is going to be a good topic for our callers, I reckon. The very first film that really scared your pants off. I want to ask you a couple of things quickly. You've virtually been on tour with Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is one of the most amazing, he's just achieved... The high water mark.
Oh, man. Absolutely amazing.
In musicals. Tell me he was a nice guy, because everything about him seems lovely.
He was a lovely guy. So he's the guy who wrote the musical Hamilton. And he's also done the soundtracks for Encanto and Moana. He was absolutely lovely. We did this a live thing. You can watch it on ABC iView now. It's streaming. A live conversation on stage in Brisbane. 2,000 people came, but 30,000 people applied to come to it. It was unbelievable. That's how well loved he is. It was incredible. It was the most intense audience I've ever seen. But yeah, he was a really, really nice bloke.
And he spent most of his time talking about his cameo on Bluey, which you've done. It's a very elite club, isn't it?
So you and I are in the same episode, Mick Trades, and he and I went to the Bluey Studios and we watched that episode. He and I with the crew watched Trades.
Yeah, well, that's just incredible. And as I've pointed out before, the only character ever animated on Bluey with ass crack was my Trades.
the letterbox.
I asked for ass crack on ice cream. I wouldn't give it to me.
Valerie Taylor, I look forward to this. She's an astonishing woman, as you said, and she's part of Australian history as far as I'm concerned. 87 years old. What a great stint. Thanks once again, Lee. We appreciate it when you swing by.
No worries, guys. See ya.
Bye, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, 1 week to go. At the end of this week, you decide who you want to lead you for the next 3 years. 4 years? What is it up here?
I think it's three years.
3 years. It's a big call. There's a lot of big-ticket items at stake. Natasha Belling joins us in the studio. What is happening? What is the lie of the land as we speak?
Interesting. Some may say that this is the unlosable election in New South Wales for Labor because Perrottet has been plagued the Liberal government. They've been in government for many, many years. It's time for a change. But I was speaking to a couple of people on the weekend who said polling, surprisingly, is showing do not rule Perrottet out. Now, as we know, polling can often be wrong, as we've seen with many federal and state elections.
Yeah.
But latest polling today shows that the coalition's primary vote has jumped 6 points to 38%. Labor's primary remains unchanged on 38%. Perrottet, he has edged further as preferred premier. And also, though, the latest Resolve Political Monitor research for the Sydney Morning Herald shows 39% of voters believe Labor will win the election. 27% think the coalition will prevail, but 34% are undecided.
There you go.
Well, you've been up here for 8 weeks. So you've been a Sydney sider for 8 weeks. What's your take on it? What's the vibe you're getting?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm just new here. I've been watching and going, I have no idea who Chris Minns is. I have no idea. I've been up here. This guy's been running dead. I've seen him. Nothing. He's like Perrottet. He rang us up twice.
Yeah.
Come on this program. Now, I don't know anything about the history or the politics, but when I arrived, everyone went, Labor wins in a landslide.
Yep.
And that guy went, I'm just going to go to sleep out the back and I'm going to walk this in.
Mm.
And maybe he's made the wrong call because I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I've never heard him speak. I just don't know much about the guy. And by the way, I'll just put my political cards on the table. If anything, I lean slightly to the left.
Yeah.
I can be bought.
Yeah.
I am in the swing voter camp.
Are you?
But I genuinely know nothing about this bloke. And am I being harsh? What you guys?
I met him before Christmas. I broke bread with him a bit, had a coffee with him just to meet him. And then I think Perrottet, I think they're both decent blokes. I know that the latest, someone else has come up with the Coalition have come to say that they want to give us something else in
with
reward.
WestConnex. Okay. You know, these are all the last minute grabs for votes. You know, as you very well know, getting to work is a huge issue for a lot of commuters. Well,
getting home is worse.
Exactly. So they're saying you can save up to 18 minutes by increasing the speed limit in the WestConnex.
Who's promoting this?
This is the Coalition. So this is Perrottet. Yep. But you make an interesting point because I've heard from the Labor camp that was the absolute strategy with Chris Minns, do nothing. Because it's like the Stephen Bradbury.
You're going to
win by falling over the line. But Perrottet has been very strategic, and you mentioned this, MG, by bringing out his 75 kids.
Six daughters, one son.
Yes. Isn't that enough? Wow.
Well, they all voting age. If they vote for him, he's home.
There you go.
I would have thought, what's the big item? What's going to...
Cost of living.
That's what it's going to come down to.
And I also heard on the weekend when I was doing research, people, even if they are tending towards left voting, you know, they're over the what they did to Gladys Berejiklian as well, that they're concerned about economic instability overseas, interest rates here, and they want to go with who they know.
Hey, John, you wanted to comment on what is this? The
WestConnex.
The WestConnex scenario.
Good morning, all. How you going?
Morning, Johnny. John.
Hey, Kat, go to the Seagulls. All right.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Stay on.
Dump him, Kat. Dump him.
I do live in Penrith. Nah, bugger Penrith. All right. So I live in South Penrith. I work at Botany. And every single day I've got to travel that stupid M4, North Connects, whatever you want to call, from start to finish.
Yep.
And they're going to put the speed limit up to 90. How about I've got to do 30 to 40 kilometres morning and afternoon. Doing from nothing to 20 kilometres an hour. What's use of going tonight? Might as well put it to 190.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Everyone who comes into the city from the western suburbs is about 15,000 or 20,000 people who do it daily. It's there and back on the way.
So is this a voting issue for you, John? Or?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to vote Perrottet. Nah, I'm going to go the and I don't do any sort of drugs. Bond's going to go the marijuana one.
Yeah, so somewhere's Tash. Tash is going the same.
She did say that. You're not supposed to show my political cards.
Yeah, but Tash likes to pull a bong too. You know that.
Yeah, bucket bong.
It's been a long year.
Thanks, John. Troy's on the line. Troy, what do you make of it all?
Hi, boys. How are you going?
Hey, Troy.
Well, mate, I think people forget that this Liberal Party stuffed up the trams. They stuffed up the ferries. They stuffed up. And then Minns doesn't seem to be saying anything about that. But they told the New South Wales people that we couldn't build anything, and then they go overseas and stuff it all up.
Yeah,
you know, waste billions of dollars. Like, if you don't know who you're voting for now, you're an idiot.
Who are you voting for?
I'm Labor. Well, vote Labor because like Liberal parties are just wasting money.
Are you happy with Minns? Do you think he's run a good campaign?
I don't think he has. No, I think he's been too quiet. But mate, don't vote for the person. Vote for the party.
Yep, that's always a good point.
Make the rules, not the person, you know. So, and Liberal has stuffed up everything.
I hear you. A lot of good points made there. John's on the line. John, what's the issue that you're going to vote on?
Morning, guys.
Hey, Johnny.
Morning, John.
Mate, it's the price of all the tolls and things.
Yep.
And just Sydney is the most tolled city in the world.
I hear you.
I do. You know, it costs bloody $70 a week to travel into the city and back. It's ridiculous, you know?
You know what it is, John, too? Like, originally, all those roads were part of what you paid taxes for.
Yep. Indeed.
And then all of a sudden they went, well, hang on, it's we can just farm them off and someone else can will privatise that. Yeah. Your actual job as a government is to provide essential roads. Services, and one of those would be roads. And yet, over time, they've morphed it out, they've farmed it off into private, and I agree with you, as someone from out of town, boy, you're driving along here, ching, yeah, ching, ching.
Yeah. Well, I'm close to $200 a week.
Yes.
When you're talking about a cost of living election, who can help you there? Is one side better than the other when it comes to tolling?
Lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
All right. Well said, John. And Rob's on the line. Rob, which way are you leaning, mate?
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning to the Perrottet camp, Mick.
Reason?
I tend to think that, like Tash said, you know, a party that sits back and sort of says nothing and does nothing isn't a party you want to govern for 3 to 4 years, you know. You know, we're looking at their big brother in the federal. You know, I'm sort of really concerned. You know, historically, three things happen when a Labor government gets into power. Spending goes up, interest rates go up, and the superannuation system gets pulled to pieces. Those three things have already happened in 12 months. Federally.
Am I speaking to a federal minister?
Is this Laurie Oakes?
What are you doing, Rob? Who do you work for, Rob?
At the moment, I'm not working for anyone.
You're a lobbyist. I love it.
We get the idea. Whatever you're thinking, please vote. This is the greatest thing you've got. It's what makes our country great. And there is a lot to digest, and there's a lot. This is an important election. Yes. I know everyone says this is the most important election of our time. But don't underestimate how important it is. Get out there and do your bit.
Mick Molloy, MG in the morning. Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.